Finding the right cleat can be transformative. Believe me, I've worn plenty during my career. So getting the right balance is crucial. The cleat needs to feel good on your foot, but also feel good connecting with the ball. The New Balance Furon 7 Plus is built with both of those points in mind, offering overall comfort and precise striking in the game's fastest moments. Because, as I learned the hard way, because I didn't possess much of it, speed matters in soccer. That's why the Furon 7 Plus is built for accuracy and precision at rapid pace, and is engineered specifically for use on firm ground. Why is this the ideal cleat, I hear you ask? Well, not to get too scientific, but the Furon 7 Plus offers a lightweight yet supportive hypo-knit with mesh lining upper construction and is paired with offset lacing for a truer strike of the ball, which is a long way of me saying that your game will immediately get better when these are on your feet. Learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Hello and welcome to Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. On today's episode, we have a special interview episode. Before we get into everything, a quick reminder to follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. Also, you can head on over to our YouTube page and hit subscribe so you never miss a new video interview or whenever we go live. Plus, you can catch great extended NWSL highlights. Head on over to youtube.com/attackingthird. Today, we are joined by two-time FIFA Women's World Cup winning manager, former FIFA World Women's Coach of the Year, and current president of San Diego Wave Football Club, Jill Ellis. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks so much for having me, guys, Sandra and Lisa. This is awesome. I'm, like I said earlier, I was learning about the world out there in terms of social media. So I will certainly be following you guys now. So I'm just stoked. It's great that two women are doing this. Fantastic.
We're excited to chat with you, but we're excited to chat about all things San Diego Wave. It's the NWSL's 12th newest franchise, San Diego Wave Football Club. Can you just walk us and our listeners, of course, through the process of landing this name for the team and why settling on Wave FC?
Yeah. I mean, it was obviously that's kind of the exciting part, right? When you go somewhere, it's figuring out what's going to resonate. And so I think early in the process, you know, as we started to look at designing, you know, the crest and everything, and we obviously hired some consultants. And then we realized that we needed to not just generate this from a consultancy, but we also need to check this with the community. So we hired our director of brand and consulting. So, you know, a lot of this was connecting with groups, soccer groups within the community to bounce names and ideas. And I think initially the initial kind of questionnaire went out of what does San Diego mean to you? How does it feel like? What resonates you? And so much the common theme kept coming back, you know, the ocean, the beaches, you know, just the influence of water, obviously being a coastal city. So, you know, the name came from a lot of different input from, community leaders and obviously soccer groups. Some outlaws are in there. The Loyal, obviously, are in town. Soccer clubs, a lot of youth clubs. So there was a lot of sort of gauging this process. And yeah, we ended up with San Diego Wave FC. I mean, listen, I'm someone who grew up in a country where every team is either United or City. So it was different. But I just think it really kind of captures, you know, the essence of this incredible city and this incredible area in terms of being the Wave. And I think the thing I like about it being a competitor, it's, you know, I wanted to, you know, as my daughter said, you don't want to be a name that's soft. And I love the idea that the Wave can be so strong and so powerful, and this idea of it just being nonstop.
A wave really has such a force behind it, especially when it's coming from the ocean. And this is San Diego, right on the ocean and a coastal team. These types of announcements are really exciting. We saw it recently with NWSL Kansas City team becoming KC Current, which is really exciting. And now we have San Diego Wave FC. Jill, can you tell us any plans for a crest or colors or any other schemes that are going along with this San Diego?
Absolutely. I mean, obviously that's the next steps. And I get this, you know, I'm not a patient person. So the idea of kind of rolling this out, I was like, what do you mean we got to roll it out? And they're like, you know, so yeah, I'm still learning, but no, I mean, I think, yes, we have crest and colors, you know, finalized and ready to go. I think it'll be early December. we'll roll those out. You know, I think it's, it, I think they're, I think it's stunning. I think it's, you know, it's symbolic and it's going to be well received. But yeah, that'll be the next step. And then obviously, you know, aside from the marketing piece, you know, what we've been doing is actively building a roster, right? And that's the big part of what people and fans want to know. But, you know, I think going back to the name, and we chose Football Club. We did ask, you know, our focus groups and, you know, was it Soccer Club or Football Club? We landed on Football Club. And then because, you know, we are just such a rich cultural city that, and this game is so global that the football, you know, the Spanish spelling of football also made sense and was well received. So I think we're pretty excited about our name, and it's kind of a stay tuned for the next steps for us.
I know fans are probably listening, our listeners are listening to this right now and trying to hang on every word a little bit, but focusing on that, centering on the football aspect of it, it's going to be the first time that an NWSL club utilizes the Spanish translation of Football Club to Football Club. And it's great to sort of hear the background in terms of all of the groundwork that was done and landing and settling in on that name because of San Diego's ties to Latin American communities specifically. So I got to ask, Jill, okay, are there current plans to possibly acquire Latin American or Spanish speaking specific players? Fans want to know.
Well, certainly. Listen, I think you know this. My daughter was born in Puebla, Mexico. So I certainly have, you know, I have the home in the home, you know, making sure that that's a part of the plan. I mean, absolutely. We want our team to be representative of, you know, of every group. There's such an influence here in the heritage of this city. And so, yeah, I mean, that's definitely in our plans. I mean, I think we recognize we want to, you know, someone asked me the other day, you know, are you going to just focus on, are you going to have local talent as well? And I said, of course. I think there's nothing more special than having the local kid that's kind of come through the club program, you know, maybe gone to college, maybe gone straight to the pros, and to play in front of their hometown or, you know, close to it. I think that's kind of a cool story too. So we're very cognizant as we build out the roster of, you know, obviously, we want talented players, but we want the little girls and boys that come to the game to see themselves out there. So I think that's a big part of it.
This club is making moves, the new name. You're talking about acquiring different players and trying to build that roster. But previously it was announced that Casey Stoney will be the manager and the team's head coach moving forward. What do you think of Casey Stoney? Why is she going to be a good fit for the Wave FC?
Well, you know, I'll be honest, I'll share this with you guys. Like, I never pat myself on the back, but I'm telling you, I hit it out of the park on this one. Casey, you know, obviously I hired her and knew what I knew about her. But now, obviously, over the last few months, getting to know her, seeing her on the phone, you know, with people, seeing her in person and just what she stands for. I mean, I couldn't be more excited about this hire. I think Casey she's an exceptional coach, but a phenomenal human being. She's, you know, so committed to this program. She has the experience of kind of launching the Man United team because they obviously went into the top flight, and she told me she had way less time to put her roster together than she does now. But I think people are going to find in Casey, you know, a coach that obviously played for 18 years for England, captain of England, so played the game at a higher level. She's going to really understand the demands of the players, but she also understands that at its heart and its core, and she has three children, right? So her kids want to be entertained. They want to have fun and enjoy it. And so building a team that on the pitch is fun to watch, that's exciting, that, you know, that kind of has this go for it mentality, you know, and I bounce the name off of her to get her thoughts. She's like, oh my God, I love it. You know, just this, we talk in soccer a lot about wave after wave in our attack. And so she really embraced that. But I think people are absolutely going to love Casey, and she's going to be very much a part of this community.
You know, Jill, when we're looking at sort of this very early footprint for San Diego Wave FC, they're bringing in a lot of experts, quite frankly, in terms of the women's side of the game, bringing you on as president, you going on to make the hire of Casey Stoney. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about another hire that you also made. You brought on Molly Downton, the club's general manager. You worked with her on a national team level. And this is just one of those hires I think that you can point at to and just continue to look at the club's rise. So with the expansion draft around the corner, with now you, Casey, Molly, what can fans expect from San Diego as that's right around the corner? We're almost a month away to that expansion draft.
Yes. And we've been working on it diligently. I mean, I think, listen, when you're in the environment with the senior team, and one of the things that I think is Molly's strengths is she's so detail oriented, right? I mean, she's moved a group around the world. And, you know, first and foremost, the trust that Molly and I have for each other and just the capacity to work well off each other. I mean, and her and Casey have already built a relationship. So that chemistry is critical when you're starting to build something out and you spend long hours, you know, talking and discussing. But I think, you know, what we're going to do right off the bat is just be incredibly diligent to know the, first of all, we have to identify the profile of the player you want. You know, what does Casey want in her wide players? What does she want out of her goalkeeper? So once you identify the profile, and you know, is it someone that's a pure shot stopper? Is it someone that can play well with their feet? You know, or is it a wide player that's well, good isolated or needs to combine? And I'm kind of nerding out right now, but you know, determining that profile of the player kind of gives you that base for what kind of players are going to be a good fit here, and the tempo with which we want to play. So already we've kind of done a lot of work on the profile. And then, you know, one of the things that's been so fortunate, because I still have so many friends in the college game, you know, it was such a wonderful time in my life, my career, that linking Case up and Molly up with all these, you know, college coaches, she spent hours and hours and hours on the phone asking about their players, you know, and you know, the coaches have been phenomenal in giving their time, especially in the playoffs part, but that's a big part of it. You know, what kind of player are you getting? What kind of person are you getting? You know, can they play different positions? You know, what's their flexibility? Like, that's the level of detail we've come to. And then obviously with the expansion piece, which will follow, you know, 48 hours later, you know, we're really just kind of, you know, looking at all the players that are out there. And obviously it's a great group. But then being really strategic in how we balance the acquisition from the college draft, the super league, super draft, I think I call it, with, you know, what we need, what are our needs from the expansion draft. And then obviously on top of that, you're looking at your internationals, and then you're looking at, you know, just your trades that you're doing domestically. So it's kind of four main pieces that revolve around, but it's kind of fun. You know, I mean, I just really enjoy, you know, being in those conversations. And obviously Casey has a very clear vision of how she wants to play and the type of players that would be great fits here.
There's so many moving parts.
That was a long answer. Sorry, guys.
Yeah.
We love it. No, we're here for it. Thank you.
I love that answer. And there are so many moving parts and moving pieces. And it's not just acquiring players and women that can play the game and compete, but finding the right personnel to fit with Wave FC. And now in the NWSL right now, 10 teams competed this season. There will be 12 next year, including you and Angel City FC. But when you look at all the different players and the players in college and overseas and even in the NWSL playing right now, how do you see the level of women's soccer continuing to grow with the expansion of more teams in the league?
Well, I think it's, you know, it's, I mean, listen, I'm watching games and, you know, you can just see the development of the game. You can see it on the national team level, you know, look at 2019 to just the, you know, the caliber of player, the level of expertise, fitness, every component of the game. Right. But I also see that in the college game. I'm also seeing that in terms of the, you know, the professional ranks. So I think across the board, you know, I'm seeing young players, you know, I've been down to the Surf Cup to hand out some trophies, and I'm watching these little guys, right, little girls run around. I'm like, oh my God, they're so technical. So I think overall we really are making strides. And I think what I love about this game, what I love about people involved in it, is it's always kind of like, we have to keep pushing, we have to keep evolving. So I continue to see an upward trajectory for our sport, you know, globally and obviously domestically. But I think that, you know, the pro ranks, and this is kind of why I came into the club game, is I just, you know, having been the senior coach, it's like you recognize that the players having a really good place to play, to go back to, that's a good level, that's a good situation to be in. That's fundamental. Like, I've actually come out and said that I don't think a team wins a world championship without having a very strong domestic league moving forward, because I think it's so important. And so a big part of me sort of stepping into this realm was like, okay, let's see what's needed here. And, you know, in truth, I just felt that we were going to make such a big commitment to, you know, not just the development of the game, but how the players, you know, are treated, the resources they have. I think we've just got to elevate everything. And with that comes the investment. I think if you have a phenomenal product, you know, we see it, that the fans will come. There is an appetite out there for our sport in the viewing public.
so much excitement is coming. I mean, the new name, the crest and the colors to come, announcement of coaches and Casey Stoney and everything. There's so much to look forward to with this club. But for you, Jill, personally, what are you most excited for with this club?
I mean, I think, I wouldn't really pin it down to one thing. I mean, I think at my heart, I think a coach is, we're kind of builders, right? You put pieces together. And so now I'm sort of sitting in a different seat, but it's putting these pieces together, bringing in phenomenal people, you know, empowering them to do a job and just seeing how this is going to evolve and develop. I mean, listen, we're obviously a long ways off yet from next March, but we, you know, the people we've brought in are so impressive. They're working so hard. So I think what I'm ultimately excited about is just this process of putting together. Like, listen, I think when you deal with very competitive people, you know, you win a trophy or you win something, you're like, okay. But it's kind of the challenge is the piece that you truly enjoy. You know, it's the journey, it's the struggle, it's those pieces. And I'll be honest with you, most people that I've met, you know, a trophy or a medal ends up on a shelf getting dusty and people kind of like, it's about what's next. So I think for me, it's like not looking back, it's going, okay, how can we enjoy this journey we're on right now to create something really, really special? We don't want to be an expansion team that comes in, we're, you know, tippy-toeing into the league. We want to come in and make some noise and really go after it and give our fans something to get excited about from the get-go. So I think that process, that challenge of putting this together is what I enjoy. And listen, I selfishly on a personal level, you know, I have a little girl, I have a 16-year-old and for her to continue to see women in positions, you know, to see Molly as the general manager, Casey as the head coach, you know, her mama being a president, you know, I think those things are not lost on me in terms of the capacity to always try and create opportunity and make change.
Jill, we wanted to take the opportunity in this timing to get your perspectives on the current landscape right now. The news of the club has dropped in a pretty big time for current NWSL clubs as the NWSL semifinals are approaching. You've been having to keep an eye on the NWSL, and you have in the past at the senior level, but now is in terms of being a president and in an administrative role for an actual NWSL club. What has been some of your favorite moments, perhaps, of this 2021 regular season and by extension, these current playoffs?
Oh, I thought you were going to pin me down on a prediction there for a second.
We will.
Don't make me pick. No. I mean, listen, at this point, I'm cheering for, you know, I mean, listen, I thought this past weekend's games, I mean, watching last night's game, right? The weekend's games, you know, the DC and North Carolina game. I mean, what an epic battle that was. You know, I think what got me really excited this year is just seeing some of these really special young players that have suddenly, you know, just come into their own, right? I think it just, you know, we have amazing veterans, you know, it's watching Carly's last game, you know, that was something that was, you know, just an honor to be a part of that in terms of trying to what we're doing. So yeah, I mean, I think part of this year, you know, watching the North Carolina DC game this past weekend, you know, that was, you know, to see a Trinity Rodman and Ashley Sanchez, these young players, you know, Ashley Hatch, these young players that are really, really special and really talented, to see some of the, you know, the goalkeeping that was on display yesterday. I mean, just that was pure entertainment. So I think, you know, for me this year has, I mean, certainly I've spent a lot of time on a lot of administrative calls and board calls. So I'm trying to learn a lot behind the scenes. But I think ultimately it really is about the product that's on the pitch and seeing some of these exciting, intense games, you know, seeing the fans back in the stadium coming out to support their teams. That's, I think, been a really notable part of this season, is just seeing the excitement, you know, of people being back and cheering on their players. You know, I think it's, you know, and I wouldn't be remiss to say, you know, obviously this year, the league marked a, you know, massive, obviously, you know, the revelations that come out and what we've, you know, learned and dealt with. And then just this now, this commitment, you know, I think that was so shocking to so many people, the you know, to hear Sinead and the stories that came out. But now this kind of renewed, like, okay, well, let's be better and let's get it right. And this renewed commitment to, we have to be better. And what does that look like? So I think this, you know, this calendar year in the end of our cell, it's had it all, really. I mean, in terms of just, you know, heartache and pain and also just, you know, seeing these unbelievably exciting matches. So So, you can tell I'm a fan. So I love sport.
Well, we talk about it all the time here. So we always love chatting about it with others as well, especially someone with your background. But you brought it up, so we have to ask, who do you think is going to make it all the way? Give us two teams for the final. I won't nail you down on who's going to win it all. Just two teams for the final.
Oh my God. Now you're pinning me down, Sandra, because I have to be on board calls with these owners. They might take us out. Well, listen, I think it's to see, I've always enjoyed watching DC play this year. I think they're an exciting, young, energetic, high risk, high reward in a lot of how they play. So I think they are a fun team to watch. So I think it would be kind of cool, obviously with North Carolina knocked out, to see a new team get into the final. I think would be exciting for the fans. And then the classic, the Northwest there with Portland and Seattle. I think Seattle has kind of been this slow boil and now they're kind of simmering, and they're hot and they are playing well. I think they're going to be a really tough team to knock out. And then the Portland Chicago match. Yeah, that's again, I think Portland's been an interesting journey this year because they've, they lost a lot of their veterans were away. They really did well tapping into the younger players. And now it's this kind of, they're so deep on their bench that they could, they're going to be challenging too. So I think it's up for grabs. I really do. But I think it's the four best teams are here at the end for sure.
I think that's a fair assessment. We're excited to continue coverage of the playoffs. We're excited to continue to see everything that San Diego Wave FC are going to be bringing to the league. We want to thank everybody for joining us and listening today. Jill, we would like to thank you for joining us and sharing today. Quick reminder to everyone, follow us on Twitter at Attacking Third. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast show. We're also available as video. So please subscribe to YouTube at youtube.com/Attacking Third. Follow San Diego Wave FC at Twitter and other social media handles at San Diego Wave FC. For Sandra, Lisa Roman, and Jill Ellis, this was Attacking Third.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.